Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you now and just want to thank you, Lord, that you are our God and that you have made a place for us in your kingdom, that you teach us like you do, Lord. That as we read your word, Lord, that you just help us to understand those spiritual things. So, Father, tonight I just ask that you just teach us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we might learn from your word. I just ask, too, Lord, that you'd encourage each person here and just bless them, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start around verse 18. Paul has started this church in Corinth. He is writing them this letter because of some divisions that they've had, and he's wanting to right a wrong that the people in Corinth have started going down, a wrong path that they've started going down. Chapter 1 down here in verse 12, he's talking about these divisions about, you know, hey, you say I am Paul, I'm of Apollos, I am from Peter, I am from Christ. And he's trying to get the point across, is Christ divided? It's all one spirit that we're learning from. It's not that one guy's got some kind of wisdom, another guy's got another brand of wisdom, another guy's got another brand of wisdom. That's what makes Calvary Chapel really awesome, is that it doesn't matter where you go in the country, in the world, you go to Calvary Chapel and you get a verse by verse, and it would be the same with any other church that teaches verse by verse. They're teaching you God's Word, and you can really not go wrong by teaching God's Word. Even if the only thing I did was just, I just stood up here and just read the Word to you. That's better than taking a couple of verses out here, you know, and making some kind of a big long sermon on something, you know, and conjuring up some kind of a teaching. You know, that would get you going down a path that you really didn't need to be going down, because if you go down through the Bible, just verse by verse, you know, you're going to come across scripture that's going to have commentary on other scripture. The Bible has commentary on its own self. It does not contradict itself. And there'll be a lot of people, as you talk to folks and everything like that, they'll say that there's all kinds of contradictions in the Bible. Well, hand them the Bible and say, well, show me one. Well, I really can't find one right now, but I know they're there. So Paul is just trying to get these guys back on track, and what we're going to talk about tonight is like earthly wisdom, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. There's all kinds of earthly wisdom and whatever that goes on. Evolution is one of them. You know, they'll tell you all kinds of tales and stories of how 64 million years ago the dinosaurs evolved from a snake and whatever, you know. And they don't have any more idea than the man on the moon that any of that is right, because they weren't there 64 million years ago. They weren't there long enough ago to even have any kind of an idea about it. And that's man's wisdom trying to make you think that they're wise and smart and trustworthy. So let's start out here in verse 18 of chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And there's a lot of people, you know, that you talk to that non-believers think that you're just a complete idiot for believing that how was that movie they put it last night? That a woodworker would die on a cross, you know, and that'd be any different than any other thing you could conjure up for salvation. But to somebody who doesn't know, to somebody that does not have the Spirit of God living inside them, it is foolishness. To us that have this, has the Spirit inside us, we don't exactly know all the details of it, how on that day that God could have put all the sin of all mankind on Jesus that day so that Jesus could have died for all the sin, how that happened, I don't really know. But yet, through faith, I can accept that. I can accept that it did happen. I read the Bible and I believe it. Before, I just really couldn't quite understand anything in the Bible. Before I came to the Lord, I couldn't really understand much of it at all. So it is the Holy Spirit that's making all this make sense to us. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And he has. He really has. There's all kinds of religions out there that would have you believe in all kinds of things, that you achieve nothingness, that nothing really matters. Another one that, well, it doesn't matter whether you sin or whether you don't sin. You might as well just go for it because, you know, you're going to die and that's going to be the end of it. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. See, you can't know God through wisdom. You can't know God through knowledge. You can memorize this book as far as words are concerned, as far as just knowledge is concerned. And you can, you know, recite the book, you know, from cover to cover. But without without God, without knowing God, it really does you very little good. It's just like, anybody ever play that game Trivial Pursuit? You know, and that's one of my favorite games, you know, and all. But really, after you get done playing that game and you've answered all these questions, these trivial questions, it really hasn't done you a whole lot of good. I mean, it's worthless. It's really worthless information that you've been answering these questions. And really the same thought pattern right here. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Through the worldly wisdom that is that's going around, they didn't know God, and it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. To save those who just through simple faith would go, wow, I believe that really happened. I believe that man, Jesus Christ, was our Savior. I believe that he did die on the cross for our sins. I believe he did raise from the dead. I don't know how all that happens. You know, I don't have the wisdom to be able to tell you the exact, you know, I mean, God can. God could, you know, spell it right out for us. We wouldn't understand it probably. But, I mean, he could spell it right out and it would make perfect sense to God. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to those Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And see, the Pharisees and the scribes and everybody, while Jesus was on earth in his ministry, they always wanted a sign. Hey, show us a sign. Show us a sign. Come on. What sign are you going to give us to show us that, you know, you have the authority to say or do whatever you're doing? And he never did give them a sign. You know, they wanted smoke and mirrors, you know, and Herod wanted him to turn a vase into gold, you know, or whatever. And Jesus wasn't about that. Jesus wasn't about smoke and mirrors. He wasn't about, here, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of a hat, you know, and show you that, hey, I'm able to do that. He wanted you to spiritually see him, spiritually understand him, and know why he came spiritually, not in this physical, I mean, in worldly wisdom, it was foolish for him to come. He wasn't about that. He always healed somebody and said, now don't go out and tell everybody, because he didn't want to draw a big crowd, because, you know, he didn't want everybody desiring another sign or a sign, here, do this or do that, or heal my dog, or heal, you know. He wanted people to come to him for a healing for themselves and understand who he was, who he is, I should say. And that's going to be why during the tribulation the Jews are going to be deceived by the Antichrist, is because they're going to want a sign. And this Antichrist is going to pull a rabbit out of a hat. He's going to do all kinds of signs and wonders. The book of Revelation says that. Ezekiel or Isaiah, I can't remember the exact scripture, talks about that he will be a deceiver of many with signs and wonders. So the Jews request this sign, and the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. See, Paul was in the book of Acts, when he had went to Athens, they were the philosopher, the Greek philosophers and everybody, they had like an academy there that they all hung around, and somebody, you know, heard of some kind of a new saying, or, you know, some kind of a new part of wisdom or philosophy or something like that. They were just, man, we want to hear this. And that was what they were all about. They took Paul in there and they were asking him questions, because that's what they did. They just sat around, and anybody that had any kind of a new, you know, thing going on, why, they would bring him in there and listen to him, and just, you know, just so they could amass knowledge, so they could amass this wisdom, so they'd just really be smart guys. There's a video that we've seen, and the name of it is called Expelled, and it's about God being expelled from the school system and the colleges and everything, and about professors and teachers and stuff that even would mention something about intelligent design would be fired, and they couldn't get a job anywhere else just because, oh man, you're one of those. And it wasn't that they were even mentioning anything about a relationship with the Lord or anything like that. They had just mentioned stuff about intelligent design, and they were ostracized because of it. One of the, and I can never remember that guy's name that was the head guy in the video. But anyway, he had asked this professor about, he was asking him about God and about evolution and about creation. And the guy told him that, yeah, 69 million years ago, everything was right, and told him the whole story about evolution and everything like that, and gave him, okay, now this is what it is, you know, and just matter-of-factly, by golly. And he goes, or, and he goes, and that's how life began. He goes, or, he said, an alien race could have created life, and that's how it began. And it's like, whoa, now wait a minute. Now, if an alien race already began, then how could they have created life if life, they were alive? And it was really strange, and he was serious about this, and that was what was just, we watched it at the Monday Night Men's study, and that's what was just, we were busting out laughing, because this guy was serious. I mean, he was, this is the way that it was, and then he gave him this other thing, and it was, and in all this, he was ridiculing this the guy that was interviewing him for even thinking that God might have created and that there was a Jesus and there is a God and all and we were amazed. And that's where these Greeks are, and that's where a lot of people are today. They're using worldly wisdom to come up with reasons why there is no God, the reasons why Jesus never existed, the reason why the cross is foolishness to them. And it's really sad because we know better. They say, prove it, and we really can only tell them our experiences. You know, like when you're laying in bed at night and you're praying and you might be going through a really tough time and you're just, Lord, and then just all of a sudden the Lord just pours that light of peace into your heart and you're just, whoa. He just, you've got absolutely no proof whatsoever that he's there and that he's done that, but he has. You know, and you tell people about, you go to work and you tell people about that and they're like, wacko. And I've even told some Christians that were like worldly, carnal-like Christians, and they thought, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, that's right. So these Greeks, they're after wisdom. And they were thinking that it was pretty foolish to believe in the gospel in Jesus Christ, and it says here, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, you know, to those who are called, they're the believers, Jewish believers and Greek believers. There is no foolishness. It is the power of God. It is the power of God over sin and our lives to save. And that's really awesome. You know, we don't understand God's wisdom, but yet we believe in it, and we know that it is that God is wise, and that He has an awesome plan, and we are part of that plan because we've accepted Jesus and we've accepted His plan for our salvation. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, we know that God is not foolish, and we know that God is not weak. But if He did have foolishness, and if He did have weakness, it would be stronger than anything that we could possibly muster up or conjure up. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. There are some of those professors, there are some of those people like that do come to the Lord, but it is really difficult for them because they have this great knowledge, this great bunch of wisdom that God has to overcome. And it's not a problem for God to overcome, but yet it has to do with faith. I mean, they are They put more faith in their knowledge and in their wisdom than they do what God might say to them in calling. God is always trying to call everyone. That doesn't mean that everybody ends up being called, allowing themselves to be called to Him, but yet God is working on every single solitary soul that's ever walked this earth. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. There's people that just really don't have a whole lot of education at all. There's a lot of churches that you could not be a pastor in unless you had went to a seminary. Our pastor has not been to seminary. But yet, he depends upon the Holy Spirit to teach him, and he studies, and the Holy Spirit does teach him, and we get an awesome teacher, because he has listened to God. He has allowed the Holy Spirit to work through all this. And there's a lot of, if you read a lot of commentaries, I have a couple of commentaries that I read on a semi-regular basis. And man, I'm not a very educated man, and some of these commentaries, they get way out there. They, you know, just take one verse clear out to the nth degree, you know, and it's like, man, there is no reason in the world to take it there. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I mean, sure, 2 pages ago they had already totally understood or explained the verse and the whole nine yards, but they just kept going and kept going. There's people that have even studied themselves completely out of faith. I mean, there's a place to stop, and there's a place to just be still and know that God is. And there's a lot of people that you talk to that in the world's eyes are not very intelligent, do not have very much wisdom at all, but yet you sit and talk to that person and God speaks through them. God talks through these people. God, you know, your friends, they don't have to be a pastor, that, you know, just your friends and all. When it comes down to it, when God wants to use somebody, He can use somebody. He can even speak through a donkey if He wants to. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, wisdom from God. The wisdom from God walked right on the earth and taught, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And see, this is saying, he who glories, anybody that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Because it says back over here that no flesh should glory in His presence. That means that no flesh could glory in themselves. You know, we all, maybe we all don't. I struggle with pride and all. And it's, you know, you always, you know, oh boy, I've done a good job on that, or I've fixed that right, or I've done this a good job here, or whatever. You know, really getting puffed up, you know. And every time you do that, the very next thing you touch, you totally destroy or mess it up or whatever. And the Lord is trying to get us to understand that not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And that's what this verse is talking about. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord, you know. And that's what I've been trying to learn over the past 15 years, is that when something happens great, praise God. Praise God for that. It's like every time I talk to Pastor Bob about, hey, that was really a good teaching, I really understood a certain part of it or whatever, he doesn't say, oh, well, thank you, brother, I just really appreciate that. He just says, praise God. You know, praise God, because God spoke through him. And that's what we pray for. That's what we pray for every Sunday morning when we meet in here for prayer. We pray that the Holy Spirit would fill Pastor Bob, that he would use him to teach us what God would have us to learn on Sunday morning, you know? And he surely does. He surely does. Even to the point of, if it's something else than what he's been studying, all the thread that he's been studying all week long, if Pastor Bob walks up here and God wants a different sermon preached than what Bob has prepared in his flesh and in his mind and everything to teach, if God wants to change that direction, that Bob would be so in tune to the Holy Spirit that he would like, oh, okay, well, let me go over there and we'll go through that, you know, that it's all about the Spirit. And Paul goes on here in chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And there's a lot of fast talkers. There's a lot of guys that use a lot of big words out there that, you know, some like just like I was talking about some of those commentaries. Man, I don't understand them. I don't even use them. You know, some of those that I've bought and thought that they would be good, I don't even use them because I can't even understand them. I mean, it's too heady for me. I can't get into it. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's pretty awesome that Paul would go from the rabbi that he was. He was well-trained. He was well-educated. As far as a Jew goes, probably would have been a high priest one day, who knows. But he went from that, being a really well-educated man, to not knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's really where it comes right down to it, is that as you teach, there's going to be somebody that you're going to teach. You know, you may be, you know, a friend at work, a cousin, a nephew, a brother, a sister, a daughter, or whoever. You're going to be teaching. You're going to be getting the Bible out, and you're going to be talking to them, and you're going to be reading this Bible to them. You're going to be wanting them to understand it. And just like with anyone, you don't want to use persuasive words like they do on those infomercials on television, you know, really trying to talk you into buying the devil throwdown thingajig here. We want you to buy for only three easy payments of $99.99. And I mean, have you ever sat down and watched those on a Sunday afternoon? After you get done, you think, huh, I need one of those. And then you snap out of it and you think, oh, no, I don't, no, no. But I mean, it's easy. I mean, they are into persuasive words, trying to talk you into things. And that's what Paul is talking about. I don't want to talk you into having faith in Jesus just because it's the thing to do. I want you to seek him out. I want you to to look for him. I want you to seek him out and have that personal relationship with him that you find him. I don't want to find him for you. I don't want to con you in or conjure something up to get you to believe. I want to give you the facts. But yet, the gospel is really simple. I mean, it is a simple, but it's hard for people that are intelligent and are not filled with the Spirit, or not even open to the Spirit, to understand it, to really get a grip on it. And that's why when Jesus says, unless you come as one of these little children, you're by no means going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because little children, they're not really super duper educated. I mean, you might see one or here that's got like a IQ of 150 or something like that. You know, it's 4 years old or whatever. But for the most part, kids are, that's why they go to school. That's why they got to go to school, because they're just uneducated. They're just pretty basic. And that's why he says, unless you become like one of these. It doesn't mean for you to shrink down and start drooling and getting candy all in your hair and everything again. But he means that unless you just accept me without trying to figure out the nuts and bolts of why, and, oh man, I got to really totally understand this, and I just can't quite get my hands on that to totally understand it. So, man, I'm really kind of skeptical yet. He doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to come to him, to have that faith that he gives us in the first place, and exercise that faith, and then learn from him from that point on. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And this is talking about that God, there isn't anything wrong. Don't get me wrong. There isn't anything wrong with knowing stuff. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, forget, you know, going to school, or forget, you know, amassing facts about certain things. You know, that's not what I'm getting at all. This is talking about we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, but we speak the wisdom of God. That's the Holy Spirit. When somebody teaches, you want that guy or that woman or whoever is teaching you, you want that person to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I could say all kinds of stuff tonight, and if it isn't the Holy Spirit teaching you, then throw it in the trash. There's a trash can right there, right by that water fountain. Throw it in the trash on your way out the door, because it's really worthless to you. If the Holy Spirit isn't the one that is teaching you, making something stick in your heart, in your mind, and you can walk out of here, and that's really it. It's not because I've really studied a whole long time and really just read every commentary and listened to every teacher I could listen to, and everything. If you guys walk out of this room tonight and you know more about God or have something working in your mind and in your heart that's putting you on fire about God, it's not because that I have really done some kind of great studying. It's because the Holy Spirit has done it. It's because the Holy Spirit has taught you, and that's something that's really going to stick in your mind and in your heart when the Holy Spirit teaches you, than just somebody coming up and speaking a lot of words, persuasive words. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. We can get some pretty good glimpses out of the Bible of what heaven's going to be like, what God has prepared for us. And as the Holy Spirit teaches us, and as we grow in our relationship with the Lord's going to reveal these things to you just as if you would have read them out of a book, or if you would have seen them on a video. I've had some visions before that just blew me away, and I'm just really, I just can't wait to go there to see what the real deal is going to be like. It's really going to be cool. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? We can't even know what another guy is thinking, another person is thinking. You know, I mean, we really can't even ascertain what that is, really. I mean, the guy will have to tell us what's going on. It's not like we can do the Vulcan mind meld, you know, and understand what this guy's thinking or feeling or whatever. It's just not in us. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And that's who we really want to be our teacher, is the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now there is a spirit of the world, that the world system, which, you know, Satan is the ruler of, and he is contrary to the Lord. And we haven't received that. We're totally against his whole gig, his deception, his everything. We're depending on the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So we've got to depend on the Holy Spirit to teach us, and we got to really turn from those things that we might learn from outside influences that might, you know, there's all kinds of TV shows and everybody that want to try to trace down the roots of Jesus, and I've watched some of those, and doggone it, nearly every one of them wants to put some doubts in your mind about who Jesus really was. And that's this spirit of the world. I mean, the world wants to know. The world has to know. And so the world has their own guys to try to tell you who Jesus really was. And we don't need that. We have the Holy Spirit to tell us who Jesus really is. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Spirit is going to teach a spiritual man spiritual truths, and that's or spiritual woman, you know, and that's where you got to be. You can't be a carnal person. You can't be somebody in the world, and the Holy Spirit come over here and going to teach you a whole bunch of spiritual stuff, you know. Just like when Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, he said, you know, you got to be born again, you know, and he told him this whole thing, and he says, you're the teacher, you're one of the great teachers of Israel, and you don't understand this. He says, how are you going to understand if I talk to you in physical words? How are you going to understand if I talk to you in spiritual words? You know, we have to be a spiritual person to be able to understand spiritual truths, and for that Holy Spirit to be able to teach us, we have to have that relationship honed up with the Lord, so that we're actually listening and we're actually wanting to hear what the Holy Spirit would be wanting to teach us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what we're talking about here. Being a spiritual person, having a relationship with the Lord, having God living within you, and having your relationship with God, that vertical relationship with God, open so that you can understand what he's saying, so that you can tell when somebody is teaching you some bogus words. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And now Paul is getting ready to go into a little bit of a teaching to these Corinthian believers about their immaturity and about what this entire letter is about. But I just had finished this up in my devotions in the mornings. And thought, you know, reading this to you guys, reminding you, just like Peter said, I just stand up here and remind you guys of these spiritual truths that the Holy Spirit is giving us. So I encourage you that as you walk your Christian walk, know that there is a Holy Spirit that's going to teach you. Know that there is wisdom that comes from the Lord through the Holy Spirit. As you read this word so that whenever you're somewhere and somebody is trying to tell you some conjured up, whacked out interpretation of the scripture, that you know the scripture and then you know it, and the Holy Spirit, as you read this, pray and read, you know this scripture, and the Holy Spirit has taught you and given you. He's the greatest commentary that there is on the Bible, is the Holy Spirit. And as you read this word and study it, you're going to know when somebody is trying to teach you something that is contrary to the Word of God. It's just it's going to get easier and easier as you read, as you walk, as you grow in the Lord, to be more in tune to the Holy Spirit, and we're moving farther away from this natural man that does not receive the things of the Holy Spirit, and we're moving closer and closer to this spiritual man or woman that can discern the things of God. Some days are going to be easier than others. Some days I'm more carnal than I am spiritual. Some days you wake up in the morning and for whatever reason you feel about as spiritual as a hamburger. God hasn't moved. We have. God allows us to go through things so that we will be more dependent on Him. But I just want to encourage you as you go through your walk. Desire those spiritual gifts. Desire having the Holy Spirit to be able to teach you, to instruct you, to give his commentary on the Bible so that you will know it, so that you will understand it, so that when somebody does try to teach something that is contrary to the Word or something that is twisted, you will be able to know because the Holy Spirit has taught you. And you will be much happier with your understanding of the Bible if you allow that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to lift this group of believers up to you, Lord, that you would teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to just be open to the Holy Spirit, so that he can teach us as we read your word, Lord, that you would instruct us, that you would guide us to the to understand the Bible. There are those areas that that we need even special spiritual understanding to be able to understand just exactly what you are meaning and exactly how you want us to apply it to our lives. So, Lord, be with these people. Walk with these people. Encourage them. Provide for them, Lord. Love them. Help them to just receive your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they may be spiritual discerning, that they might understand your words, that they might understand when somebody is teaching them something contrary to your word. So, Lord, just be with them for the rest of the week. Bless them. Help them to have just a blessed time of studying your word. And bring us all back together again next week, Lord, that we might be able to just get together and just corporately come together and praise you and learn your word together, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a good week.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.